Welcome to another episode of Spock Sports Show, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. It's a look at everything sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. And now, here's your host, Chris Spockman.
Chris Spockman hanging out with Coach Perrett and Earl Hartman, you know, bless his wife, praying for his wife. She is in the hospital. Is she out now, Scott, I guess, hopefully?
She's going to be there for a couple days doing some rehabilitation. Getting her as strong as you can. It's pretty strong physically right now. So
right, I know.
Always hoping for the best.
Whole Sacred Heart community is going to be, you know, praying for her, pulling for her to be able to, you know, I guess maybe she'll at least be able to listen to me, you know, come Saturday when you guys take on the winner of Vesterberg Beale City this coming Tuesday. But MSAC champs, talk a little bit about that for a second.
Yeah, you always think it, you take it for granted sometimes around Sacred Heart with our conference championships and all of our sports, but it's not an easy thing to do to win your conference. And Merrill and Breckenridge last few years have had really good teams and been very competitive. And so have we, but we just haven't been able to cross the finish line, and we finally did it this year.
Yep, and you and I were talking with some of the guys. I think football was undefeated. We might have to go back and look at that, but basketball, baseball, 36-0. How cool is that? Like I said, you played at Sacred Heart back in your day. Your son's on these teams. Just how special is that, man?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, like I said, you just take it for granted. We're always successful, but to go undefeated and, you know, playing home in a road game with these teams, you got to go to their place and win, too, and that's never easy to do. There's always good competition. So 36-0, anytime you're doing that at any level of any sport is pretty impressive. So
kind of talk about a little bit around the field. Who's kind of been on the mound in some of your guys' big games this year? Like I said, I've seen Brady Davis, a couple of great performances, but who else has been out there? Maybe talk a little bit about the folks on the mound.
Yeah, the pitching has been just phenomenal from starters to relievers to all the way down the lineup. I mean, like you said, Davis has just been amazing for us. But Aiden Halliday honestly has been just a horse. He's just been the dude for being a senior. When he goes on the mound, he's had so much confidence this year. And then we've had awesome starts from Joel McDonald in the conference and on some weekend opponents that are bigger schools. But we've also had great outings from Jason Bogue. I mean, he's looked phenomenal on the mound. And then you roll right into Grady and Noah Zion. They had some spot starts and spot innings, but they've done great. And then Ryan Wiggins is like he absorbs some innings. He's really good. He's got an arm that can go for days, and he's put some good innings in as well.
And he seems like one of those guys, no matter what the sport, what he's got to do, it's like, coach, just put me out there where you need me, and I got you covered, man.
You know, that's most of these guys. Honestly, they are selfless. These boys just care about each other, and they just really want to do what's best for the team. You saw it in the basketball season, but it's no different in baseball. We've got guys on the bench that are super supportive that could make some noise, too, if they, you know, had their chance. But there's guys that are just playing a little better in front of them. And so it's a cool group of kids that, you know, I've got to watch grow up for a long time, but to see them grow up to be men and now, you know, just continue grinding at it and just wanting to get better as a team, it's pretty fun to watch.
Back to Bogue for a second. I believe it was around my graduating class, early 2000s. Didn't he have a cousin or something that went to pitch at Michigan, would it be?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure about his history. I know he had some uncles that were super strong athletes.
Yeah, might have been one of those that, you know, I was in school with, and I think he was at Mount Pleasant, but we'll have to ask him the next time we see him. And now kind of going to the plate, who's really hitting well for you guys?
Again, right now we're hitting pretty well, everybody. as far as, you know, averages, you know, averages are averages. You square up balls plenty of times that you don't see fine holes, and you can get some cheap hits here and there, but man, the last 2 weeks, the bats have been on fire, especially Fulton and Merrill this last week. Grady leading it off, and Noah Zion has been stepping up in the tool, and then we get to the horses with Stemke and Halliday, who've been doing it for 3-4 years, and then it doesn't trail off. It's great. Then now you're coming up to Wiggins, who's finding barrels, and Bogue's finding barrels, and then Joe got slid down to the bottom of the lineup earlier this year, and he's turning it up. So now you get down to the bottom and you think, you're like, oh, we're up 8-9 flat. Nope, there's a double in the gap. So it's pretty sweet to watch, you know, these guys, no matter where they're at the lineup, they'll do it. They'll put a punt down if they need to. They'll try to move a runner over. So they're doing what they need to do, and that's why I guess we have 30 wins.
And pretty much every guy in your lineup, you think about the speed, the athleticism, you know, you go back to basketball season, go back to football season, pretty much everybody that steps up there is a threat to drop down a bunt to move that guy over and essentially get on base too, aren't they?
Yeah, I've pushed them to get out of the box this year and to put pressure on the defense, even on singles and doubles, to get out there and round the bases hard and just always get out of the box. And it's hard. Sometimes you roll over a ground ball, you hit a pop-up, and you don't want to give it down the line. It doesn't matter. Every time you get out of that box, and we've kind of created that base running culture that they fly around the field, and it's fun. You put a bunt down or a ground ball, get ground ball to second, and they're beating this play, you know, and it's putting a lot of pressure on the defense as we're playing.
Yeah, we're both buddies of Brad Ancliffe, you know, coach at Beale City, and he always talks about make them make the throw. And I remember talking with him one day, and it kind of realized to me, you know, when you guys get into that playoffs and you're playing a Pentwater, I'll throw myself under the bus. That's me out there in right field at some of these small schools, man, and I'm not making that throw to third base very accurately. You've got to make those kids make the plays, don't you?
Yeah, coach is hard on him about that. He doesn't like to see the ball in the air much because he knows that those ground balls, they have to be fielded and then thrown and then caught. So there's another element where a pop-up or a fly ball, you know, you just got to squeeze that glove sometimes. And he likes to have these kids hitting hard ground balls and hard line drives to force kids to make the full play. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but now in the field, who's kind of been stepping up? And I think it's going to be one of those pretty much all over, but who's been at, you know, short most of the time, center field most of the time for you guys this year?
Yeah, up the middle, it's Grady at short, and Ryan Wiggins has had the bulk of innings at second, and then Joe McDonald in center, and Noah Zion is perfectly adequate there when Joe's on the mound. So the middle's been strong, and with Stemp TV on the plate, we're super strong up the middle. I mean, it's nice to see them eat up balls and take away singles. And then the corners, well, you know, you got Bogue flagging balls down, and Halliday's doing an awesome job at first again, scooping balls when we need them. So it's again, like you said, it is a team effort, but it's like Zion the other day against Portland St. Pat. Single in the first inning, big moment, first and second. This single is going to bring in a run, and they're going to be first and third. Noah throws a laser from right field, shoots him off the plate. Stemke throws the guy out at second, trying to turn the throw into an extra base. And we walk out of there with no runs, and it could have went the other way, but we had our right fielder just throw an absolute hose to the plate. And so not every team has that.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of times it's me out there in right field, and I'm either going to be throwing it in the dirt, or I've got to hit the cutoff man, or I'm going to throw that sucker into the dugout because I'm trying to put too much on it, you know, going from right field to third base. And now talk about Stemke behind the plate. You know, when I talked with Brad Ancliffe earlier this year, we're talking about Jake Gauthier, who's maybe 3-year starter because Cam Lynch was there, but Stemke is a 4-year starter behind the plate. What does that mean?
He's a baseball player. He's a hockey guy, but he should be playing baseball. That's what I say. I always give him grief because he is one of the best catchers I've seen. I mean, he just does everything right. And I actually laughed with the family this weekend, and my brother-in-law, Timmy Groves, who himself was an amazing baseball player at Sacred Heart, played at Central, and he was watching Game Changer down in Indianapolis, and he said, "Who is your dude behind the dish?" He said, "This guy is legit." And everybody that I talk to, other coaches, they're like, "Who is he and where is he going?" And they always laugh when I say, "He's going to play hockey in college." He's kind of the heartbeat of our team, honestly, because he's just so solid behind the dish. He just don't have the pass balls, and he just throws runners out, and he hits great, and he's just a great kid, and he's such a team player. So we've got some great senior leadership with him and Halliday, and then you got someone like Cade Rose that is another senior that doesn't play a lot, but he's a super awesome athlete, and he knows his role, and he comes with a good energy, a positive energy every day. So when you have leadership like that at the top, really good. Good for our coaches.
This team compared to your 96 team. I got to do it to you, man. I'm sorry.
You know, we had 5 Division I kids on that team, and we had 2 lefties that were throwing. One was throwing 84, 85, and the other was throwing 88. And we had another lefty that went to play outfield at State that was throwing 82. So when you have 3 left-handed pitchers throwing over 80, I would have to say we would stuff them at the plate a little bit, most likely. It's a great team, you know, and there's a lot of athletes. Halliday's playing football, and Stemke's playing hockey, and we've got a couple baseball guys on there too. But I'm going to lean towards my 96 boys.
When you bring those lefties in there, that I think that does make it very, very – except Brady Davis has been doing fantastic. But when you don't see that left-handed pitching all the time, it can just make a big deal. And it's somebody who else, you know, a baseball expert – Gotta tell people how different that is with that spin coming in, spin coming out from the righty to the lefty when you're batting from the right side of the plate like most kids do.
Yeah, you know, and myself, I was a lefty growing up, so I didn't have to deal with the lefties always gave me grief, you know, the sliders across my body that the righties had to deal with all the time. But definitely just a different arm angle. It's just not something they see all the time. And so anytime, you know, routines are huge and repetition is huge. And so when you're seeing a right-handed arm all the time, you get used to it. So left is definitely different. all pitchers throw different curveballs and different depths and, 12-6 breakers and this, that, and the other, harder, slower. And I mean, honestly, pitching is changing speed. And great thing about Brady Davis is he changes speed. He changes eye level, he changes speeds, and that's why he is a good pitcher.
And so that you think that's more important than the righty to lefty? Like I said, that's something, asking you because I want to get that advice. You just see the batting averages. Like I said, it's about seeing it, but it's more about changing that speed. Greg Maddux, great example, I think.
Absolutely. Everybody throws so hard these days, and the pros and kids want to, they want to look at that radar gun, but you can throw 7-8 miles an hour and get outs as long as your changeup and your curveball are 8-10 miles an hour slower than your fastball. You keep people off balance, you use both sides of the plate. You don't have to throw, super hard. Does it help? Yes. If you can throw strikes, then yes, you can overpower people. I've seen plenty of guys over my many years of baseball that don't throw, 90, 92, and they're still amazing pitchers.
Cornexel is the guy that came to mind for you guys a few years ago.
It would have been before me.
All right. Yes, I remember, seeing him go up against Muskegon Catholic Central, just kind of out there, just kind of gaming. That's what you got to do. And now, talk about somebody who has been around there for a while. What's it like working with Coach Hartman?
Oh, Coach, man, he's a baseball guy. He loves the field. He wants these kids to experience baseball and get out there. He's out there all the time. He's mowing, he's chalking, he's making the field look pretty. The kids get there, he's ready. He's got the nets ready. He is pure baseball. So I giggle every once in a while because, some of the things that I remember him saying, he's still got some of that same shtick to where he's throwing out a phrase or something. I'm like, I remember it from the 90s, but he's always positive with it. And he's just, the kids work for him. So it's great.
And now you were able to play at Sacred Heart. Now you're coaching at Sacred Heart. You're able to coach your kid. Just kind of tell people that don't know, what's that Sacred Heart sports environment like, that family atmosphere?
Yeah, I mean, we were so blessed to have the coaches that we have. I mean, Eliza, my daughter, and Grady have had just amazing coaches and you can run all Damon Brown and Josh Wheaton and Justin Sherlock. I mean, and then Earl Hartman. We're pretty lucky. Krista Davis, come on. Like, she's amazing. And my daughter got to experience that with volleyball. It's like just up and down the list. They're put in a position where people care about them, have them work hard. In fact, the expectation is to work hard at Sacred Heart, and the kids kind of know it. Like, when they're in third, fourth grade, they look up to these kids and they see how hard they work in the same buildings. We're crossing the halls, and the older kids are coming to practices, and so they know what it takes. And so by the time they get there, it's built. It's built in their blood. It's good to go.
I like how you said it's built in their blood. That's something I haven't heard before. I like it. Now, you don't got to pick one thing, maybe just a couple things here. What's your absolute favorite part of baseball, Scott?
winning. but honestly, the team. It's the team camaraderie. It's all of the things with the guys. You get to the field and you're stretching and you're warming up. And, through all my experiences, all the stories that I will tell are always bus road trips or locker room stories or pregame things. There's not one time where we're talking about the actual game. You might reference some players that we played there. And so I just hope that these kids, grab onto all of those same memories, these road trips and these bus trips and, stopping for ice cream after, Vesterberg and just doing things together. That's really what it is all about.
And I think you might have answered it a little bit right there, but you maybe got something else. What are these kids learning playing sports? It's something they just can't learn in the classroom, or something you learned playing sports you weren't able to get in the classroom.
Yeah, sports are everything to me. It's character building. It's you got to be punctual. You got to be responsible. You got to, teamwork. You've got to, you got to play for the person next to you, and you've got to sacrifice. And I think that sports, I mean, lots of extracurricular activities are. I mean, anything you do, band and theater, all of this stuff, great, because it's building more character. It's just something about going and sweating and working hard with other people, trying to beat somebody that just really, really builds character in my mind.
Yep. All right, Scott, thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, Spock. Great talking with you.
Thank you for listening to Spock Sports Show with Chris Spockman, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. The views and opinions heard on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Latitude Media, our sponsors, affiliates, and My104.3 or Buck 92 Radio. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to mymichiganpodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.